talking with the experts.
In episode 557 with Nancy Zair, discover the power of personality styles and sales psychology to build deeper connections and close more deals.
I'm glad you asked, because each person buys for their reasons, not yours. And we have a tendency, this is typical for most people, especially if you're not a professional salesperson. And my typical client is actually a professional service-based individual who is invested in their occupation. They hold a license or certification, a degree. They're not a salesperson. They don't even think of themselves as a salesperson. And so we have a tendency to project how we make buying decisions onto the other person.
Talking with the experts. Welcome to Talking with the Experts. This is where we discuss great ideas to take your business to the next level. How do we know these ideas work? Well, it's because we're talking with business owners who are using these ideas. Business owners who have years of experience and expertise. All things business by business owners for business owners. And now, here is your host, Rose Davidson.
Hello, welcome to Talking with the Experts. I'm your host, Rose Davidson, from rosedavidson.com.au. Talking with the Experts is all about business, by business owners, for business owners. You can find it on all good podcasting streaming platforms and on YouTube. And today, it's my very great pleasure to invite you to listen and watch Ms. Nancy Zair, who is from the USA. And Nancy's going to be talking to us about how to convert prospects into clients. And Nancy is the creator of Alikability, which is a trademarked system. And Nancy has a PhD, and she shows professional business owners how to turn 50% of their prospects into clients. She earned her master's and doctorate from Boston College and authored 7 books, including an Amazon international bestseller. Nancy resides in South Florida, is a student of spirituality and recovery, and volunteers as a foster family for the Farm Dog Rescue. Her secret desire is to go racing on the Autobahn. Wow, yeah, I've been on the Autobahn, and oh my God, it is amazing.
Yes, well, I truly, you know, I have this desire for speed and for acceleration and for freedom.
Yes, they really go quite fast. I was there when I was 12, so it's quite a long time ago. But even then, you know, cars were just whizzing by while we were we seemed to be sitting still because we were used to speed limits, and there's no speed limit on the Autobahn, so.
No, there isn't. It isn't. I actually went to a speed raceway. They have one of those. They have several, I'm sure, maybe in your country as well. And that was a real kick in the pants to, you know, it was a little electric car. And I think you could get up to 30 miles per hour. So it wasn't really like fast, but you were so low to the ground that it felt like you were just whizzing.
Not for me, I don't think.
Yes.
Nancy, tell me how you went from, you know, getting your master's and your doctorate to, you know, helping business owners, convert their prospects into clients.
It's a great story because, honest to goodness, I had no interest in being a salesperson growing up. I thought they were manipulative and, you know, the stereotype of the typical salesperson wasn't for me. However, the government paid for my graduate studies. They paid me to implement mental health services in the workplace, which absolutely was a great match for my skill set. It wasn't until I graduated that I realized you could not implement a program until it sold. And that's how I found myself selling. And I knew nothing about selling other than, you know, being tough and making people do things they didn't want. Like that was not, it's not what selling is. So I went back to school, not to get a degree. I went to the library. What could I learn? And that's how I came across what's called the Platinum Rule. And with that, I quadrupled sales in 90 days and later started my business.
Wow, what a journey. So tell me, what is the platinum rule, Nancy?
The golden rule is treat others the way I want to be treated, a very humane way to approach work activities. The platinum rule is treat others the way they want to be treated. And that means shifting what you say, what you do to match your prospect. It's not being inauthentic. It's speaking their language. And when you do, they feel comfortable, they relax, the trust builds, the sales resistance drops away, and it opens the door to doing business together.
Absolutely, yes. I like that. That's quite a good rule because you are right. Selling or can be a little bit sleazy or feel a little bit sleazy, but if you, I guess, treat your client or customer or you know, how they expect to be treated by a salesperson, then you're more likely to get a sale out of it than if you, you know, use the old conventional sales jargon and you know, rhetoric that they use.
Exactly. And so it's about matching the language of your prospect. And it turns out that there are four major languages. People have probably heard of the love languages. Well, it turns out there are four personality styles, and each of them has a particular way of communicating, making decisions. And when you speak the language of your prospect, that's when they say to themselves, wow, you get me, we're alike. Hence, that's why I came up with the name of my system, the Likeability Sales System, because it's about letting that person feel, helping them feel, you get me. We feel, we think, we seem to be alike.
That makes a lot of sense. And I guess it's like mirroring somebody. You know, if you're in a meeting and, you know, you mirror either their language or you mirror their body language, and it builds rapport.
You're right. It builds rapport. Hence, the name of my business is Rapport Builders. So, you know, we're there definitely on the same wavelength, Rose.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are the four buying styles that, you know, that you use in your system, Nancy?
I'm glad you asked, because after 35 years of research, and it wasn't all mine, a colleague, she and I have discovered that each of these four styles have a different number of touch points that they need before they can make up their minds. And so we've given them numbers rather than words or colors. Or in fact, many of the listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with some of the major personality systems. There are over 200 of them, and each of them knows that there are four different styles. So we call ours number 2, 4, 6, and 8. And the numbers represent the number of touch points before someone can make up their mind. For example, our number 2 buyer makes up their mind in only 1, at most 2 contacts. Fast, decisive, ready to go. They're on the Autobahn, right? The number 8 buyer, now turn 8 on its side, it's the symbol for infinity, right? This is the person who starts with 8 and keeps going. You know, the one who has to think about it and always reflecting, asking questions, getting more information. Again, very different kind of buyer than our number 2.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what's the number 4 and the number 6?
Right. And the number 4 person is also fairly fast. They're making up their mind in 2 or 3 contacts. Why did I call them number 4? It's because after they said yes, they go back and think about it and get cold feet. They have buyer's remorse. Hence, you need one more touch point after they've said yes, making it 4 touch points in order to seal the deal. And the number 6 buyer, if you know anything about typical statistics in terms of buying, it takes about 6-7 contacts on average for 70% of the sales. So this is the person who needs testimonials, references. They need to search out other people who've used your service, get recommendations in order to feel safe and comfortable with your system.
Makes a lot of sense. You know, it used to be, I think there was 6 touch points that people, you know, was the norm when you were selling online. But now I've been advised that it's up to 12 touch points that people require before they decide to to buy from you. And that seems to be a lot. And that's a lot of work for the business owner.
It is, but a lot of these touch points are digital, meaning when the research was first done, Rose, it was done with telephone calls, in-person meetings. Maybe we sent stuff through the mail, you know, direct advertising. And today, so much of what we do is digital. So, for example, your prospect has gone online, has looked up reviews, has seen your website. Perhaps you have material you posted on the web, social media platforms, and so forth. So they've had a lot of touch points that you're not even aware of before they might get on your calendar or show up in your workplace.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I guess, advertising on social media and the like is probably, a good touch point. And you don't know how many times they've viewed that particular ad before they've made a decision. So maybe they've seen it three or four times and decide, it might be worth clicking on the button and having a look to see what the offer is.
Right. Hence, for example, your podcasts, and you just shared with me that you've done over 560 podcasts. Your listener, your viewer is now so familiar with you. They feel comfortable with you, even though they've never met you, which means if they choose to be on your calendar, Rose, they probably know a good deal about you and they're ready to buy.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I hadn't thought of it that way. I mean, I didn't start the podcast to monetize it. I just do it because I love to help others. I've been encouraged to monetize it now that I've got so many episodes up and going and I've met so many fabulous people through this medium. It's absolutely amazing.
I agree with you. This is a great way for us to share our expertise as well as make connections with people that, for example, being in the United States, you're being in Australia, what were the chances we would meet?
Not absolutely so none.
And here we are. I know, on the Autobahn. Well, I hope we don't meet that way. That would be a...
Nancy, I'd like to, find out your perspective on how buyers buy from a business.
I'm glad you asked because each person buys for their reasons, not yours. And we have a tendency, this is typical for most people, especially if you're not a professional salesperson. And my typical client is actually a professional service-based individual who is invested in their occupation. They hold a license or certification, a degree. They're not a salesperson. They don't even think of themselves as a salesperson. And so we have a tendency to project how we make buying decisions onto the other person. And let me give you an example. I'm PhD trained, as you suggest. And so it would be natural for me to just dump a whole bunch of information because, of course, I'm thoughtful and I have studied and I want answers and so forth. But remember, only the number eight buyer is that kind of person who wants all the details, all the scientific evidence. The other buyers, like the number six, they're looking for testimonials. Or the number four wants a connection. They're buying you. And the number two, just get it done, please, and do it quickly. And bottom line, what are the results?
Yeah, and results are very important. And if you can't, show what the result will be at the end of the buying session, I think that, people are a bit turned off by that. So the business owner has to be very confident in, what they're selling, and their product or service.
I'm glad you use that word confident because sales is a transfer of energy and confidence is the energy that people are buying. Confidence in your business, confidence in your service or product, confidence in you. And of course, when you transfer that confidence, now they have confidence to succeed or to get value from their purchase. So we're really, it's an exchange of confidence that's going on.
Yeah, I get that. I think that's really important. And, if I'm going to be buying something, I want to be confident that it's going to work or that I'm going to get some benefit from it because it's always, the whiff and what's in it for me.
Exactly. And too few people really pay attention to what's in it for me. It's not what's in it for me, the seller. It's what's in it for me, the buyer. Hence, that's why a likability is so important. Treat others the way they want to be treated. Speak their language. Present the information, your product, your service from their perspective. What's going to be their benefit as opposed to, you know, the features of your product or service?
Yeah, and that can always be a bit of a challenge, is to, you know, speak the language of the client, customer, or the person that's seeking your service or product, because, you know, it can be difficult to, you know, learn that language. And unless you do a lot of research, you won't find it.
It turns out that it's not as difficult as you might imagine. Each of these four styles have an associated group of values. And when you use those value words, this is what will attract the individual and say to themselves, we're alike. So I mentioned the number two being fast. So when you talk about speed, efficiency, getting it done quickly, urgency, deadlines, these are words that have meaning to them and that they respond to in a very, you know, gutsy way. And they may not even realize that, but that those words are meant for that buyer. They turn off other buyers. So for example, I just said urgency, and a lot of marketing, a lot of sales tactics say, oh, there's a deadline. There's only one left. You got to buy, you know, and if you're fast action, we're going to give you XYZ additional bonuses. These are the things that work for the number two buyer, but they turn off the other buyers. And this is the reason why sales becomes a numbers game, because most of the time we're not speaking the language of our buyer. When you know your ideal buyer and you speak their value words, that's when they say to themselves, you get me, we're alike. I want what she or he has.
Yeah, that's very true. And, you know, that's a really great way of putting it. It's, you know, it's easy to understand. And, you know, a lot of people that are in the sales game use language that sometimes the buyer doesn't understand. I haven't got an example to share, but yeah, a lot of times I've been turned off by, you know, an in-person sale because they're using language that I don't necessarily understand. Like, I understand the words, but I don't understand what they're getting at because it's not for me.
Exactly. And when you said it's not for me, that means that there was unlikability taking place, right? Because you did not feel that connection with the seller or their product or service. And I agree, Rose, too many of the times we use jargon. We're so familiar with the words in our own occupational niche that we casually toss them around. But as you say, the receiver is like, I don't know what it means. I know on social media, I'm on LinkedIn a great deal. I will read a post and the person just starts right in with something or other. And my comment is, what does this mean? I mean, and I will give them the phrase or the word because honestly, I don't know.
No, yeah. And that is really off-putting. You know, jargon. I used to work for a government law enforcement agency, and we, of course, were used to jargon and, you know, abbreviations and whatever. And so I'd talk to my friends and my family outside of the organization, and they had no clue what I was talking about. And so, you know, conversations then were, you know, a little bit stilted and a bit, you know, didn't last very long because, you know, I was used to having a conversation with my peers within that organization. And it sort of, I just took that language home.
Yeah. It's interesting. You just reminded me of something that is in process right now. I will be doing a program on conversational sales conversations, making them confident. And we've decided to use the theme of detective. So anytime you are meeting someone new, there is a bit of detective work going on as you try to determine, is this a suspect or is this a prospect, right? And so we then looked up what are the typical words that are used by detectives so that we could have that theme throughout our presentation. Mm. So in this case, you know, we're using jargon, but we're using it to set the stage as opposed to turning people off so they don't know what we're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it makes heaps of sense. And I'm really glad that you clarified all of those things, Nancy, because, you know, a lot of us, or as business owners, you know, don't think about outside the box, basically. And, you know, and we just carry on doing what we're doing and wondering why there's crickets all the time.
Exactly. And here's where having an outside coach really is helpful, because that outside coach will tease and pull from you and draw from you a different way of expressing what you do and put it in language again that your ideal client will understand. This is so important to get the right words. Hence, that's why I mentioned the values, because these value words, when you use them, instantly create that sense of rapport within your prospect that you're speaking my language, you're walking my walk, and then they feel like we can do business together.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's great. Nancy, let's discuss a little bit about the basics of personality styles and how we can use them, you know, to our advantage in our business.
So I'm known as the sales whisperer, or even the LinkedIn whisperer. For those of you who go to LinkedIn and look me up, you'll see that it says Nancy, the LinkedIn whisperer. And this was a title that was given to me by one of my clients. And then another client said, no, it's bigger than LinkedIn. It's the sales whisperer. But the point is, you can go to material on the web, whether LinkedIn or Facebook or website, and read somebody's personality style. How do you do that? Look at their photo and look at the words they've used to express themselves. These are telltale clues as to their style. Remember that number two is fast, efficient, go-getter, wants things done. Their photo is going to show you that they are confident, they're on the go, they're moving, they're grooving, they're into activities, adventure, and so forth. Notice their photos. It's going to tell you this. The number eight, they're very much into their heads, very intellectual, very thoughtful, want information. They're not so social. Instead, you're going to find out that they have authored books or that they have lengthy articles because they want to share the information, how they have pulled it together, analyzed it, and come up with an idea.
Wow, that's very interesting. That's a really interesting concept, and I hadn't thought of it. It's very good. I like it. It's good.
I think this might be a good moment for me to give people an inside view as to how to analyze someone's photo. Go to find their photo, because they placed this photo deliberately they've chosen it out of all the other photos they could put up. And even if it were professionally taken and they photoshopped it or whatnot, look at their smile. There are four kinds of smiles. The number two smile is smug and confident, and they've got attitude. They have a shoulder sticking out, a chin jutting up, maybe a funny face. I mean, they're showing attitude because that's who they are. The number four, their smile is broad and warm, and they want to reach out and give you a hug. Their eyes are crinkled. You feel like the smile has come from the inside and coming out through the outside. The number six smile is reserved. It's posed. You know that they're posing for the camera. Someone said smile, and they spread their lips, showed their teeth, and they were composed. And then the number eight, very serious, not a smile. They're the ones who are thinking. And so hence, they don't want to smile. They're just lost in their thoughts.
Interesting. I must be a number four.
Yes, you are. Did you not know that you were warm and wonderful? Rose, hello, wake up.
Nancy, you can find Nancy on Facebook. And you can find her on LinkedIn, as she's mentioned before, and on her website is Nancy Zare, so ZARE.com. She's also on Instagram as Dr. Nancy Zare, and she has a YouTube channel as well. And you've also got a secret podcast client builder's LinkedIn personality profile audit. Please tell me what that is, although it is pretty self-explanatory.
So, yes, I do have a secret podcast in which I go into details how you can generate leads on LinkedIn and how you can read personality style by looking at people's profile. So I talk about smiles. I talk about other aspects that you can look at to identify somebody's style.
Well done. And you can find that. I'll put that in the show notes because it's absolutely very long.
Yes, it's a very long URL. Thank you.
It is, but it'll be in the show notes. And so you can all take advantage of that. Nancy, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you. I love the hat. And you did explain to me about the hat and how business owners wear many hats within their business. It's very symbolic and I love it. It's wonderful.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to talk with you and to share a little bit of nuggets with the listeners.
Thank you, Nancy.
You've been listening to Talking with the Experts, hosted by Rose Davidson. Make sure you have a look at our back catalogue over at talkingwiththeexperts.com and be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss out on any episode. We look forward to your company next time.